We are going to be coming to a close on our I Am series. We've been looking at the I Am statements of Jesus over the past several weeks. And so in the book of John, there are seven statements where Jesus says, I am, and he's describing characteristics of who he is, which is really important in our day and time because there's a lot of opinions about who Jesus truly is. And it's probably wise for us to go to the Bible to ask Jesus, who does Jesus say that he is, and wrestle with those. And so we've looked at some Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. And today we're going to bring that series to a close, and we're going to be looking at Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so here in just a few minutes, I'm going to invite some folks up. One of the things that we have talked about in this series is Jesus frequently says these things about his character, but they're not meant for us to just intellectually be aware of those things. So it's not just meant to inform our heads. In the sense, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And we go, oh, that's great. That's good to know. Right? No, there's something about his character that he wants us to experience him in that way. I've used a quote by Charles Spurgeon talking about Jesus being the good shepherd. And Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, said that he means for us to take him up to try him on that character, to know him as the good shepherd. And you've heard me at times say, if I tell my kids I'm a good daddy, then I want them to test me on that. I want them to see, am I really a good dad? Am I really a good father? And when Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, he wants us to test him. In the way that he says, today, I am the way, the truth, and the life, these are not meant to just be intellectual statements. They're meant to be something that we experience him and know him as. And so that's my hope this morning. John 14:6 is probably one of the most familiar passages of the I am statements of Jesus. A lot of us have heard that statement before, Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But a lot of us don't necessarily know the context in which that surrounds. And I think that's very important when we're looking at this statement today, knowing the context. First of all, I want you to hear who Jesus is speaking to, because Jesus is helping lead a people to a future destination. He's saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The way in which we experience the Father is through him, that he's the truth. In a world where we feel like there is no absolute truth, or is there really anything true that we can turn to, Jesus says, I am the truth. And he says, I'm the life. I'm the one who comes and gives meaning to life. I'm the one who lets you experience what is truly life. And he says, no one goes to the Father but through me. And I think it's interesting because I think a lot of us would read that and we would go, he must be speaking to a religious people, like the people that Jesus wants to be around. Like probably these are the upright law keepers. Like they go to church every Sunday. They read their Bible every day. They pray every moment, you know, they can possibly think of. And we tend to kind of think that he's inviting this very good, moral, upright people to want to come to the Father. But what's interesting is right before we get into John chapter 14, he's actually saying that he's saying this to people who are going to betray him, which is kind of amazing, that he is paving a way to the Father for people who are going to betray him, people who are going to deny him. So if you're here this morning and you hear this story and you go, he's probably not the way for me, or he's probably not the truth for me, or he's probably not offering the abundant life to me, I'm telling you, it is. It's for you. It's for every single person in this room who would acknowledge Jesus as the way, as the truth, and the life. So right before in John chapter 13, in verse 36, he's talking to Simon Peter. And even if you're here this morning, maybe you've only been in church a few times, you know the story about Simon Peter, where he comes and he tells the Lord Jesus, "Hey, where are you going? Where are you headed?" And Jesus is talking about this departure. Jesus is about to go to the cross, and Jesus answered him, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward." And Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." And so he is offering the way, the truth, and life to someone who's about to deny him publicly. Peter is going to be seen in the public square, and people are going to come up to Peter as Jesus is being beaten, mocked, and crucified, and they're going to say, "Hey, aren't you one of the Christ followers? Aren't you someone who lived and followed Jesus?" And he's like, "No, get away from me. I don't know him." This is who Jesus is coming to offer life, and Jesus knows these things. And so none of us are out of reach this morning. The next thing I want you to know about context is John chapter 12 through John 19 is all 1 week. So we read it and we're like, man, you know, how does this all fit in the timeline? This is all the week before Jesus' death, crucifixion. So John 12 through 19 is telling the story of a week. And Jesus is here with his disciples in John chapter 14. And what I find interesting is Jesus knows where he is headed. Jesus knows where he is going. Jesus is approaching Jerusalem. And we read just as we were talking about the story of Lazarus, Jesus is approaching his death. And as Jesus is going to this, what I find fascinating about in John chapter 14, verse 1, is as Jesus is approaching his death, he tells the disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled," which my mind is blown. How many of us, when life is chaotic and life is crazy, you know, all we can think about is us, us, us. And here's Jesus about to go through the most terrifying, agonizing thing of his life, and he's still comforting. He's still telling people, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so, in this chapter, we read about the story that Jesus is saying that he is going to depart. He is going to go to the cross. He's going to be crucified. And eventually, we're going to read about the fact that he is going to ascend. He's going to go to the right hand of the Father in heaven. And as Jesus ascends, he's saying, "I'm going to go away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you." He's going to prepare a place. And in preparing that place, one day he is going to return. And in context of our story that we read last week about death not being the end, this is good news. That death is not the end for those who are in Jesus Christ. That he is preparing a place for us right now. That we're on his mind right now. That he is building and fashioning a place that one day we will live in together with Jesus. Also, we see in this passage that Thomas, begins to ask these questions. Jesus says, "I'm going away, and I'm going to return, and I'm going to take you with me." And Thomas goes, "Lord, we don't know the way." I love Thomas's questions, right? Because I tend to think that I would probably be one like, we should probably know the way, so we shouldn't ask that question, right? Anybody like, you just have a question and you're like, I feel like that's an easy question. Maybe I'm the only one, you know, who's thinking this, but the Lord says he's going away and we're supposed to come and he's going to come back and get us. Probably we should have some directions, right? That would probably be good to know. So Thomas is like, well, I'll be the guy, right? Like, I'll be the guy to ask the question. And, you know, he raises his hand and Jesus is like, yes, Thomas, what do you have? He goes, hey, you said we're supposed to go somewhere. We don't know how to get there, right? That's a great question, Thomas. We don't know how to get there. He's asking directions. And what I find interesting is he wants these details. He's like, you know, turn left and you're going to go 150 miles. I was joking the other day because I saw someone, they had an atlas out, right? Some of you are like, what's an atlas? Exactly, right? You remember, like, some of us go back, we don't know what an atlas is, but we go back a few days, you know, a few years, and we used to print off, like, MapQuest. Remember? Like, you'd print it off, and you would have those directions, and they would lead you. And now our cell phones tell us, like, every step of the way, like, turn left in 100 feet, you know? And we get upset when these things don't lead us to the destination. We find ourselves at a dead end. What Thomas is asking is like, hey, are we using an atlas here? Are we using, you know, Google Maps? And he goes, no, you're just going to fellowship with me, which is fascinating. Because maybe you're here in this room and you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to navigate this life. I don't know which directions to take. I don't know the way. I don't know how to get there. And what he says in I am the way, the truth, and life, he's like, just follow me. Just follow me. In the same way that many of us, like, we don't tend to even, like, think about where we're, like, when we're going somewhere on a road trip, we don't even think about it. We don't plan that. Like, we just get on our phone, we type in a destination, and we let it tell us every step of the way. And Jesus is basically saying, I want to be that for you. I just want you to trust me. In the same way that you put your faith in Google Maps, I want you to trust me that I will lead you to the Father. Now, many of you in this room, while you may not say that you have a way, or maybe you would say you don't care about the way, you have a way. You have a way that you're trusting in right now that is leading to whatever type of preferred future you're hoping for. And so maybe you're looking at the end of your life and you say, there's nothing after this life. Well, that's your way. And so the way in which you're living is you're going to experience all the life you can right here and now because that's the way that you believe. In afterlife, nothing exists. Some of you believe that there is something after this life, and the way on which you get there is to do good on this earth. And so if I do enough good and my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, and we're on this grand scale of things, and if they outweigh them, then surely God will look upon me with favor and say, come on in. And I want you to hear me this morning. That's not the way the Bible teaches. That even if you could do good and you could amount all these good deeds, we still have sin. We still have bad. And the Bible tells us even the good things we do in this world are like filthy rags compared to a holy God. We can never get to God. And so Jesus comes to us and he says he's the way. And he comes to us and he says he's the truth. And my question is what's true to you? In a world where there's lots of different things to believe in and lots of different things to put your faith in, what is it that is kind of your North Star? Like, what is it that is your, you know, pointing direction that is leading you, that is directing you? What is it? Is there any type of truth that you're navigating your life by? Jesus says he's the truth. When it comes to two options in life, what is it? Like, which one do you choose? Which way do you turn? Because if all roads lead to God, if all roads lead to heaven, which one is right? Or maybe you're looking today and you're going, what is life all about? I mean, to think that right now I have a body. And I just want you to think just how fascinating your body is. I was sitting with Brian, who's going to be up here in a minute with me, and I was talking with him the other day and just describing the sense of the fact that we look in all of creation. We look out into the, you know, towards the mountains, and I think all of us look at that and go, man, it's fascinating, right? And surely there's a creator. It's meant to point us to the fact that there is a creator. And yet some of us don't believe that we're part of his creation, that we've been given life, that he is the author of life and the perfecter of life. And I joked, I said, if I were to walk outside my house and I were to take this watch off and show it to you, and I said, you know, imagine if I were to meet with you this morning and said, you wouldn't believe it. I sat down, I had my Kashi cereal and a cup of coffee, and I walked out in my front lawn, and there was this like metal in the air, and there was this rubber in the air, and there was this ink, and all of these things came together and it formed this watch. You'd be like, what is in your cereal, right? Like, that is so foolish. Why? Because everyone knows this watch has a creator. There's something that created it, that made it. And your body, your personhood, like everything about you is so much more intricately designed than this watch. Your heart pumps blood to your extremities at just the right beat, right? Like, your eyes focus where I can focus here on Phil and everything in the background's blurry. And then I can blur out Phil and you're in focus and your eyes have a way of shifting. It's fascinating. And just to sit here today and be like, yeah, just, you know, something happened and your skin came together and bones and it just formed, or you came from monkeys or whatever, you know, whatever weird belief system. Like, you have some idea of how life came to be. And I want to tell you this morning that he's the way, he's the truth, but he is the life. He's the one who gave you life. He breathed life into Adam and took a rib from Adam and formed Eve. And it was from that all of life has been given. And he's given you life. And he cares about your life. And he cares about you having a significant life and a meaningful life and not a boring life. That you would wake up tomorrow morning and you go, I have purpose and meaning and significance because I've been formed and created in the image of God. I didn't just come to be. I don't just exist. God created you. And if he created you, then he knows he is the one who has the best use and determination for how best to use your life. And so we trust him with that. So that's the context of this passage. And I love because Thomas says, give me the destination. And he says, I'm the way. I'm the truth. It's all about fellowship. But so many of us want to bypass Jesus, and we just want to figure out how to get to the afterlife. And Jesus says it doesn't work like that. Jesus says, if you want to get to the afterlife, and not just an afterlife, if you want to have life here today, it's through fellowship with me. And so I've invited some guys to come and share with me this morning. So Jessica, Victor, Brian, come up, grab a seat up here with me. It's like, man, it's been so intense, and now we're going to like shift, okay? So here's what I want to do. Grab a seat, doesn't matter where. I've invited these guys up this morning because we have wanted to talk about, like, what does it look like to experience Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And so I've met with these guys. I love these guys. These guys are friends. I've gotten to know their stories and really kind of handpicked these guys in, like, really for Brian. Like, what does it look like for him to know the truth about Jesus? And what does that journey look like for him? For Jessica, what does it look like for her to experience the life Jesus has come to offer her? And for Victor, what does it look like for Jesus to be the way? And so I know pieces of their story, but it was even fun this week to get to even just recap that and celebrate that and to be reminded of that and even hear more of their story. And so we wanted to be super conversational, and so we're just going to have a conversation in front of you guys this morning, okay? And so we're going to be talking about how have they experienced Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And so we're going to spend the next 15 minutes here just kind of dialoguing about that. So first, I just want to ask, Victor, you know, when it comes to discovering Jesus as the way, what did it look like for you to first discover Jesus as the way?
Okay, so I met the Lord when I was around 16 years old. I forgot to call my mom and ask her. But I was in the Dominican Republic. That's where I'm from. And I went to a Catholic school. We had a subject called religion. And we heard a lot about things from the Bible. And we went to church regularly. And I pray to God every night. But I never knew necessarily what he had accomplished for me. I thought that he did something, but I had to somehow unleash that by my performance, by being a good student, being a good son, being a good friend. And there came a point in my life that I had insomnia, and my mom took me to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist was a Christian, and she presented to me the gospel, invited me to her church, and that day I heard the gospel for the first time and understood what Jesus had accomplished for me. So before knowing Jesus Christ as the way to the Father, I thought that we could make it, that he did something for us to get there, but the real way is that Jesus Christ is the complete way to the Father, that he did everything that we need to become righteous before the Father, that there is nothing that you can offer to God, and that you need to humble yourself before him. If you're self-righteous, just like I was, to know Jesus as the way, it's just very freeing just to come to that realization. Right.
And so, I mean, obviously that was like a moment of humility. And like you mentioned that, there's multiple ways. Like you have to forfeit your way to trust in his way. Yeah. I mean, what would you say are some common ways like people would like look to as their way to the Father or way to an afterlife or way? Like what are the ways that come to mind when you think about that? Or what was your way even?
So thinking about different ways, I think meditation, the more you meditate, the more that you're in peace with the universe, and the more good that you do, the better things are going to be for you. I like to think about it in terms of the Tower of Babel, where everything was together, and then everything split, and all these different types of worldviews were formed, and they just look very different, but in the end, they are just engineered in a way by the Father of lies, and that there is only one way, Jesus Christ the Father. So I'm not answering your question, yeah. Justin. Yes. I'm just saying that anything that you see out there that is not Jesus, it's not the way, it's not true, and it doesn't bring life to you. So yeah. I guess that's what I will boil it down to.
So I would say, like, in your story, as you came to discover Jesus as the way, you would say, in many ways, you were kind of like, life is good, and, you know, I'm headed in a good direction, and then Jesus just kind of met you in the middle of the road. You were presented with the gospel, and the way was presented. For Brian, it was much different. Like, you guys were really seeking truth. I mean, there was a lot of doubts, and you would say, maybe in your story, and I'll share a little bit of that, but your story would be like, there was a moment of where you were truly seeking, Now we look back on it and go, it was actually God pursuing you the whole time, and your seeking was actually brought about by God just impressing upon you because he knew you would find him. Tell me a little bit about your story and kind of your journey of like, what did it look like to, tell me about the time when you discovered Jesus as the truth.
For me, so just a quick timeline, going back about 5 years and forward. So I was raised in the LDS church my entire life, pretty committed family. And about 5 years ago, me and my wife began to really kind of search into the truthfulness or not so truthfulness of the LDS church as a whole, and began to kind of walk away from that. But going from that, I didn't know where to go, and so I kind of went on a little bit of a journey for my own. And, you know, kind of touching on what Victor said is there's all these different ways. And so just researching a number of things, a couple that come to mind is maybe Buddhism, Gandhi, just some different philosophies. And during this time, to shift gears a little bit, is in our lives, in our family, my wife became pretty extremely mentally ill, an onset happened, and it rocked us. And at that point, it's like, really, you know, what is the truth? What is, you know, the way? And through all this searching of just different philosophies of the world and kind of grasping my own direction, I began journaling a little bit. And in the journalings, it kind of continued to resort back to Jesus. And this is where Justin's kind of explaining in the sense that as I look at it now, he was drawing me to him. And so I challenged everything I knew, everything I had against him, started kind of researching into what he was suggesting as the way, and the things that he was saying brought life to me over and over and over, more in a challenging him, not challenging him, but challenging his ways. And so I started to recognize this as truth, and the one thing I really couldn't wrap my head around was the miracles, so it's kind of where that fell.
So, yeah, I love your journey, because even in that, I mean, like, the miracles of Jesus totally threw you off. I mean, you're like, how in the world? But there came a point, like, if Jesus is truth, then all of this is truth. And I think that's just coming to grips with that of going, man, I don't know, but I trust him because he is truth. And so I surrender all to him, even my own idea or conception of how I believe miracles come to be. And, but I mean, like, you've even, you're seeing miracles take place in your own life now, and where God is being evident, like, he's showing evidence of that truth and how he is, you know, performing those miracles in your own life. Your own transformation of your own heart, transformation of your wife and your kids, and it's incredible. Jessica, I was going to, the reason I asked Jessica to come and share is because Jessica, when she came, is a description of like full of life, every adventurous activity, like taking life by the hand, and like, I want to get the fullness of life out of everything. And I didn't necessarily know her full story even before I even asked her to speak today, but she just exuded that of going like, I want every day to count, and like the significance and meaning of life. What is it? And so it was cool to kind of see your story and kind of, so tell us about, when did you come to discover Jesus as life?
Yeah, well, similar to Victor, I came to know Christ when I was 15 or 16, so just barely made it through those horrible adolescent years without knowing Christ, which is like phenomenal that we survived, right? So yeah, I would say like before knowing Christ, like I knew in my heart like that Christ was real and that his way was the way, right? But I was living contrarily to that. Like I was trying to fit into like an image, trying to fit into a certain crowd. And if any of you guys have tried to do that before, you know that that is absolutely life sucking and not life giving. It aligns more with steal, kill, and destroy rather than give life and rebuild and all of the good stuff that Christ offers. So through a lot of different miraculous circumstances and through relationships that God brought into my life, I came to know Christ. And immediately there was like this sense of like freedom from having to conform, freedom to be, you know, who he made me to be and just relax in that. And also freedom from like this guilt and this pressure of, you know, trying to fit into something that you're not and trying to live your life apart from Christ. So yeah, I would say that that was the first experience I had of true life in him. And just again, like the freedom to be like passionate about him and not just pursuing like my own desires and the own things that like I thought were cool at the time or because someone else probably thought they were cool, you know? So yeah, I think that was it for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you came to know Jesus as the life, like you have fully stepped into that. You've owned that. So you shared with me like a greeting card that, was it like your Bible study leader?
Yeah,
share a little bit about that.
Yeah, when I started to want to learn more about Jesus and became a part of a church body, I was part of a little Bible study, really small, and right when I was about 16, my Bible study leader gave me this card, which I don't know if we're going to like get it on the screen, yeah. But I still have this. It's in my bedroom, and I look at it quite frequently, and it's the metaphor. You can guess, you know, I would be the little girl on the back of the motorcycle. Jesus is driving that motorcycle, and on the inside of the card, it's a scripture from Song of Solomon, like, arise, come away with me, my beloved. And so I've looked at this many, many times throughout my walk with the Lord just to bring encouragement and, like, just to remind myself that life with Jesus is an adventure, right? Like, it's not like, you know, as soon as you become saved, you're like a Red Bull athlete jumping off sand dunes on your dirt bike. But if you look at what he's doing in your life, it's adventurous, right? It involves risk. It involves discovery. And sometimes that is internal and you're just, you know, risking vulnerability and risking self-discovery, which is very scary for some people. Or sometimes it's like outward risk, like moving across the country to a place where you don't know anyone. Which I know many of us in this room also have been called to do. So, yeah, I still think this is a really cool image, and just hold on tight. Like, that's what I've told myself many times in my walk with the Lord is like, all right, I don't know what you're doing, God, but I can trust you. You have a motorcycle license. Even though we're not wearing helmets, it doesn't matter because we're not going to crash because you're in control.
I love it. I love it. I picture this as Thomas on the back, and he asked Jesus, like, hey, Jesus, we don't know the way. And he's like, just get on the back. Like, I'll take you. I know the way. I will lead us. And this is the life I want to live. Some of you are going, I don't know. That doesn't. And what's awesome is he doesn't tell us to just get on the bike and ride by yourself. Like, he will lead us and he will go with us. And I think that's what's encouraging about this life is that we're not doing this alone. That Jesus didn't just give us a way. He gave us himself. And I love that about him because how often, you know, I mean, I think about my kids and them asking me about directions, and I would much rather do that with them, and they'd much rather do that with me. And to know that he hasn't just given us a list of rules or things to, you know, to follow, he's given us himself and say, I just want you to be with me. I'm the way. I love that. You know, when we think about knowing the way and kind of discerning between truth and lies, Jesus says he's the truth. Tell me a time, because I think it'd be helpful just in our room here today, like we're exposed every single day to things and we don't necessarily know, like they're not shining signs on them saying, I'm a lie, I'm out to destroy your life. Really, we look at two things, and many times these things are like, hey, that looks good, and this looks good. How do we discern what is truth? How do we discern, like, which way to go? What would you say to that?
So something that comes to mind is in my walk with Christ, the big difference that I find in Christ versus any other truth that may be out there is that Christ continued to glorify the Father in everything that he did. And that was truly like his whole mission in a sense. And that's amazing. And I find that discerning in different things, if we seek to like glorify Christ, that in a sense is the truth. For me, a time really goes back to when Vanessa got sick. I'm super black and white. Super bold. It's clear as day for me in the sense of my opinion versus everybody else's. And in coming to Christ and like learning his ways closed that gap for me on how to interact with Vanessa in her struggle. And that brought life to our family. It brought life to Vanessa. And I really like to look at Christ in a sense, and everything that he's saying is helping us to close the gap from our perception to his perception and becoming more like him. And that really, really brought life back into our family. And Justin talked about, you know, miracles in our lives. And Vanessa, in a sense, is truly healed and really struggles a lot less with the illness. And it's really just Christ's ways, like really seeking his word and trying to perceive what he suggested and putting it to practice.
Yeah, I love, like, even that black and white, you talk about the wrestle. It's like, this is what Jesus says, so I do it. And there is a, it's like, I have my opinion, but when my opinion, it's like Jesus' opinion, like what he says, in my opinion, Jesus wins. And I love that. And and I think I've seen that. Like you and I, Brian and I get to meet for CORE every week. And one of the things we get to do, we get to wrestle with the Word of God. And we're constantly coming back. Like he and I love to wrestle theology together. And I'm like, man, I have opinions, you have opinions, but like, let's come. Like, what does the Word of God say? Because the Word of God wins. So even as we met this week, I was thinking of Romans 12, 2. And you know, thinking about like discerning between what is truth and what is a lie. Because again, you don't necessarily know what is a truth and what is a lie. We're just presented with two things, okay? But it says this, do not be conformed to this world. And let me tell you in this room, you will be conformed to this world if you don't have an active fight against it. You are being conformed to this world unless you have a fight against it, okay? The world does not worship truth. So do not be conformed to the world. So how do we not be conformed to the world? Okay. It says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So we need our mind renewed. Our mind is renewed as we hear the word of God. I read a quote this morning that every Sunday gathering, every corporate worship gathering is a time for us to come and be made aware of our gospel amnesia, that we forget the gospel. And so we have to come and we have to be reminded of the gospel every single week. That's why we gather as a church. Some of you are here because you're like, hey, we're here to be taught and to get information. Absolutely, you're gonna get information. But mainly, we're here to remind you of the gospel, which is why if you've been here forever, you're like, Justin preaches the same message every week. That's right, I preach the gospel every single Sunday. You should come back. I'm gonna preach it again next week and the following and again a year from now, okay? That's one of the things we don't say for now on. We're going to do it forever, okay? Preach the gospel. So we need to be renewed by our mind. We are renewed by our mind. And when we are, it says that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, able, acceptable, and perfect. So how do we discern a truth from a lie? Well, we need to be renewed in our mind. We go to God's word. We're reminded of God's word because this word is truth. It's truth. And it directs and guides our life. I love that. You know, Victor, when we think about, you know, like following truth and following the way, when Thomas asked Jesus, how do we know the way? And he's like, I'm the way. He's talking a lot about what does it mean to have fellowship with him and to walk with him. Like, that is the way. Just tell me, like, on a daily basis, like, what does your walk with Jesus look like? What is fellowship with Jesus? If he says, I am the way, and many of us are like, okay, I want to know the way. And Jesus says, I'm the way. That means, it just means walking with Jesus. What does it look like for you to walk with Jesus on a day-to-day?
Yeah. So although there are many good things we can do with our Christian walk, like reading our Bibles, worshiping, and all those great things, I'm not going to focus on those because for me, following Jesus is surrendering to whatever way you had before coming to him. And acknowledging him as the way would mean that He's the only way to the Father, and now you live a life to glorify him, to exalt him, and that should be displayed in your life by loving your friends, loving the neighbors, loving your coworkers, being in community, and displaying the love of Jesus to the world, because that shouldn't be displayed from the other ways. Like, they should notice something different. So following Jesus is to honor him, to glorify him, and to love people and to be in community.
Yeah. Is following Jesus boring? Because that sounds kind of boring.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No.
Leading question, right? So, Jessica, in what ways would you say Jesus has brought you life? Like, I mean, you know, Victor talks about following Jesus, glorifying the Father. Does that actually bring you life? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, I think so for sure. And then one of the things Jesus also says is not only life, but life more abundantly and have fullness of life. So when you think about that, it's like he brings satisfaction. And to me, that is something that like I've definitely struggled with throughout my walk. And I can tell a difference in times of my life when I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. There's definitely a deeper sense of satisfaction rather than focusing on external circumstances that I might not be pleased with. You know, like I was single for a very long time. It is really hard to find satisfaction in Christ when you're single and you have this like desire to be married, right? But there were definitely times, you know, within that portion of my life where when I was like really focusing on Christ and what he was doing in my heart and in the lives of people around me and how can I be like closer to you, Christ, and know you more, and intentionally turning my thoughts to him, where I experienced that fullness, that satisfaction, you know. And I think satisfaction is another word that I think of when I think of life with him, because it's satisfying, right? And I mean, you're always going to have this hole that you want to fill. It's like, all right, no, now I'm married. Let's get a new house or a new car or a new whatever. And like our culture tells us, like, you know, like you were just saying, like we're either conformed to the world, which always tells us we don't have enough, or we can be conformed to Christ, which tells us that he is enough.
I love that picture of contentment. I took a picture of my son the other day. We were at the store, and he was picking out some Legos. And he's staring at, like, the $70 Lego box, but he has the $9 Lego box in his hand. And I was like, this is when you have $70 Lego box in your mind, in your eyes, but you can only afford the $9.99. And he's kind of like slumped over. And it's like, honestly, like as a dad, I'm like, man, I want to buy him the $70 one, right? Like I want to be giving him good gifts. But I'm like, how often in life? I was like, it doesn't change. Like I am my son, except I'm sitting there looking at like a brand new truck when all I can afford is a 2004 with 150,000 miles, right? Like it doesn't change. It's the same things. We just, our items get more expensive. And I would just go to say like, there is just that renewal of the mind, like coming back, just reminding myself that Jesus satisfies, that Jesus is where contentment is found. And that's where the abundant life. It doesn't come in the accumulation of stuff. But it's just a reminder. I need that constant reminder. I'll ask Victor and Brian this question because, again, I really want to know when it comes to experiential, like Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, I just want to know because, like, again, he's inviting us to know him in that way. So how has, because I want to answer the question, if you're sitting out here in you're listening this morning and you're going, what in the world does it matter? How does that change Monday morning that Jesus is the way? How does it change? Why do I even care that Jesus is the life? Why do I even care that Jesus is the truth? And so I want to give some answers to that real quick of just going, what's the why? And so maybe for Brian first, like just in what way has the truth of Jesus changed your life? Knowing the truth, how does that change your everyday? What examples?
Gosh, I mean, it's changed for me. It's changed my life completely. Just a few years back to right now, I would probably say that anybody that knows me is probably seen a big change in me. Big thing that I struggle with, being black and white, I tend to fall into kind of a con- not controlling, but I try to control my scenarios, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, my kids. My wife's struggle definitely is a big part of my challenge. I tend to, you know, really be paying attention just to the spirit in our home. And in this, I definitely fall into the trap of trying to control the scenario.
Yeah, try to grip it, and you're like, I got this.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and then it becomes a me trying to control the situation, me trying to speak into it all the time rather than really believing that Christ is the way and the truth. One scripture that kind of comes to mind for me as I was studying last night is, I think it's in Micah, Psalms 18. It says, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is the shield for all those who take refuge in him. And I find this true for me. The why, it just brings me comfort. It brings me relief in my struggles. Like in my day-to-day walk, just leaning on him and just really believing his words and putting them to application in my heart.
So knowing that truth allows you to kind of loosen the grip, trusting that he is your place of refuge, that you can trust him, that I don't have to grip this. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, it's bringing about peace. I can testify that to my own life. I'm sure many of you can. What about you, Victor? I mean, knowing Jesus is the way, how does that change Monday for you?
Monday, I was going to talk about something.
Go for
something
it.
Else. So we were given these questions before, so don't feel like I know the Bible so well. If you don't know the Lord in love, I really want to say that any problem that you have, and I don't want to be like insensitive to it, any problem that we have in our lives is very small compared to our big eternal debt. And just coming to the realization that our biggest problem in life has been solved as Christians in the Lord brings a lot of peace and a lot of freedom. Mm-hmm. There is no circumstance in this life that you're going to experience that is going to be bigger than what Jesus accomplished for you. He took care of the biggest problem and also of any other thing that you may encounter. So when Justin gave us that question, I thought about Romans 5:1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In the hope of glory of God. So think of your life and think like the son was saying, in all my sorrows, like when your life is just really down and in all your victories, Jesus is better. If you zoom out, those things level down and your victories and your sorrows are in the same plane where Jesus is far above everything. Just zoom out and think that there is something better, that there is something higher. And that's what I try to do in my life when I'm freaking out, when things are not going well. I'm like, okay, calm down. Remember the riches that you have in Christ Jesus and the peace that that grants you.
I love it. I think as you've heard these guys and you've kind of heard pieces and even Jessica talk about like the life, and there's a contentment, there's a peace, there is, and all of us in many ways are looking for that. And so this is an invitation. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's called us, he's inviting us to know him as the way of peace, the way of truth, the way of truly experiencing life. And I hope if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as the way, and really that you're not looking to him, like in, when it comes to Jesus being the way, in the same way that we pull out our phone and we ask it for directions, are we trusting in Jesus as the way? Are we trusting in him to lead us? Are there multiple times during the day that we're going, God, I don't know how to get there. I don't know what to do. And we're looking to him. And the same, as many times as you pull out your phone, that's what it means for Jesus to be your way. And so I hope you would know that, because I long for you to know the peace that Jesus comes. And if I could just, the plea of any of Brian, of Jessica, of Victor, like the plea and the hope of their heart is that if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as the way, the truth, and life, that this morning you would come to know him. And so I'm going to pray for us, and Greg's going to come up and kind of lead in a response time. Garrett and the team is going to come up and lead us in worship. And thanks for your attention. And we just invite you to know Jesus this morning. So, Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for our time and your word. Thank you for the invitation to truly know you, to have fellowship with you, to follow you, and to allow you to lead us and direct our lives. Would you guide us now? Would you help us to respond? Would you give us open hearts? Would you give us eyes to truly see you, to see you as the truth, to see you where life is truly found? We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.